This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. A weekly contributor is naturalist and farmer Greg Quinn, who's responsible for helping to bring black currants back to the U.S. market and, in fact, grows black currants on the current farm in the Hudson Valley, New York.
Hi, I'm Greg Quinn, and welcome to this week's entry into Notes from the Current Farm. The Northeast is enduring what may well end up being the coldest February on record. And combined with 2 feet of snow here on the current farm and 7 feet of snow in Massachusetts, well, a lot of people are ready for spring. And while it doesn't seem like it, the earth is getting ready for spring as we speak. Underneath all that frozen snow are billions of seeds preparing to put on their annual spring show. These seeds contain hormones which will kick into action once they are exposed to the perfect combination of spring warmth and moisture. But interestingly, many of those seeds are lying a great distance from their parents. Sometimes seeds seem to be a passive participant in a world dominated by animals. They form, they drop, and you get a new plant. But it's not that simple, and the adaptation of seeds to compete and thrive with their surrounding environment is anything but passive. You see, for any species to be successful, they have to populate as wide an area as possible. Of course, seeds can't get up and just walk, fly, or swim to their next home on their own, as generations of animals do. So they've developed many ingenious ways of traveling away from their parents to populate wide geographical areas. Some seeds have evolved to use the wind. If the seeds from a maple tree were just round little pods, they would simply fall immediately below the tree, and they wouldn't get very far. So they've developed a wing-like attachment. We've all seen those little whirligigs flying away from the maple tree on a windy autumn day. And as a kid, you probably picked many stems of that white fluff which appeared after the yellow dandelion flower was pollinated, put it to your lips, and blew on it to watch all those feathery appendages, each carrying a seed, float gently on the breeze, spreading dandelions all over the neighborhood. Some plants have evolved to use animals to carry them away. Of course, birds eat berries and drop well-fertilized seeds everywhere. But have you ever walked through the woods in the fall and gotten burrs stuck on your socks and your pants and in the ears of your dog? A certain group of plants have developed a sophisticated growth of hooks on their seed pods, enabling them to attach themselves to any passerby and hitchhike to their new home. They cling to the fur of a deer or raccoon or possum for a few days, and then the pod magically opens and the seed drops out a great distance from the parent plant. The tough hooks, having done their job, then become soft, and the spent seed pod lets go of its ride. And plants invented these hooks long before Velcro. Acorns and other nuts are, of course, seeds. Watch squirrels in the autumn, and they'll spend each day frantically running around gathering nuts. Some they eat to build up that oil-rich fat they need for the winter. But they also carry some off and bury them, hoping to find them by smell later on. Of course, they don't find them all, and next spring, voila, there's an oak tree. Some seeds take advantage of waterways. The seeds of willow trees and pussy willows have adapted to surviving a good soaking before they germinate. Willows like to grow where it's wet, along streams and ponds. When the seed drops into the water, they are transported downstream, sometimes great distances, and they eventually land on a new piece of earth and out comes the roots. And speaking of great distances, the champion of all is also the largest seed in the world, the coconut. It falls from a coconut tree on a beach, rolls down the sand, and is swept out to sea by the waves. It can be carried on ocean currents for months, and sometimes for hundreds of miles, to wash up on the shore of some little unknown island. As soon as it hits dry land, the hormones of the seed sense this change. The shell cracks open, and out comes the roots and shoots, and a coconut tree grows, perhaps 1,000 miles away from the parent tree. As I write this, sitting here in the old farmhouse, surrounded by snow and single-digit temperatures, it's nice to think of coconuts on a tropical island somewhere. And while there are no coconuts under the snow here, there are a lot of other seeds, which have traveled by wind or water or hitchhiked on some animal to their new home, just waiting for the spring sun to warm them up so they can sprout, grow into plants, and play their part in spring's theater. They will produce life-giving oxygen, flowers for my bees, food for insects, birds, and other animals, and eventually develop seeds of their own that will leave home and make their own way out into the world next year. Someone once said, anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but who can count the apples in a seed? For a podcast of this and previous notes from the Current Farm, or to find out why currants were outlawed by Congress, go to currants.com. I'm Greg Quinn. Join us again next week for more Notes from the Current Farm.
If you'd like to contact me, my email is mikeaw@mikebennettradio.com or on Twitter at mikebennett11. And with Greg Quinn, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
When Abraham Lincoln was just a boy, a rich farmer loaned him a book. It got damaged when rain leaked into Lincoln's boyhood cabin.
He didn't have any money, so he paid the farmer by shucking corn for 3 days. It was a small price for a book about his hero, George Washington.
Lincoln told the farmer's wife, "I don't intend to shuck corn always. I'm going to fit myself for a profession."
"What do you want to be?" she asked.
Lincoln replied, "Oh, I'll be president. I'll study and get ready, and then maybe the chance will come."
Many people think success is simply a matter of being in the right place at the right time.
Winners prepare so they're ready when opportunity knocks. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So, should you wash your money? I mean, don't laugh. I'm talking soap and water. After all, you don't know where that money's been or who's touched it with their germy little hands. Here's the antiseptic science of it. Back in 1916, you could take your hard-earned cash to Washington, D.C., have it washed, ironed, and reissued. Not as dumb as it sounds. Why? Today's researchers have found more cocaine residue on U.S. bills than on any other currency, along with Staphylococcus bacteria and bathroom matter on the money that's probably made its way to your wallet. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, it's hard to wash money, but with all the diseases in play today, after you handle your money, at least, trust me on this, at least wash your hands. Got a question? Send me an email to drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.